This year's 10 short vort on the Agada. I think this is the first year I'm including in English Dvar Torah. I actually have two of them to start off with. Nothing wrong with English, but just that I've never done that in the past. So the first one, it's hard. It's funny to read in English because you guys can read English on your own. You guys read Hebrew on your own, but still, I figured I'd start off with one of Rav Weinberger's ideas in his new Haggadah. Appropriate to start with that. The pages are backwards from the Hebrew way. It reads right to left. So you start on the right page. So let's read it together, this English piece I saw from Rav Weinberger. Rav Kook Zatzal explains that most of the difficulties people experience with their faith are not the result of philosophical or theological questions or doubts. Rather, they stem from their lack of belief in themselves, the lack of the emunah. They don't set themselves as worthy of being a vehicle for the revelation of godliness. When the Gada tells us in every generation, each individual, at V'chol Dor V'Dor, every generation is obligated to see himself ki'ilu hu, he himself actually went out of Mitzrayim, what that means is, Rav Kook says, is it's teaching us the key to redemption. To merit liberation, we must consider ourselves worthy of being taken out of Mitzrayim exile, and this is the mistake of the wicked son of the Russia. He sees himself as unworthy. He is not the caricature evildoer as so many depict him. He's not a Russia. What his shortcoming is that Russia's wickedness originates only in his own mind. He's not really a Russia, but it's his own lack of faith, lack of belief in himself. He doesn't see himself as worthy of greatness, of godless or redemption. And that's why the Gada says if he had been there in Mitzrayim, he would not have been redeemed. Why? Because he can't imagine in his own mind, the promise his own mind, he can't imagine himself being worthy of redemption because he has disassociated himself from the community, he has denied Hashem. So it's his own fault, not because he did anything wrong, but he lacked the belief in himself. He doesn't view himself as being part of the Jewish people. He thinks everyone else is better than he is. He thinks everyone else davens or learns better than he does. This is what Esav's error was. He couldn't see himself as worthy of continuing the legacy of his holy father and grandfather. And the Sfarim teach us, Rav Kook writes, is that throughout our lives, each of us go through periods where we embody each of the four sons. We sometimes channel two or more of them into our behavior on the same day, or even, to the left column now, even during the same hour. We could change from being a Tom, a Russia, and so on. In this context, our mistake is like the Russia's, not realizing that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with an outstretched arm. We think our evils are too big. We believe there's no room for us in Hashem's arms, but he is big enough to embrace all of us. It's when we lack the ability, lack the belief that we can do tshuva. At the time of Mitzrayim, the Exodus, the Jewish people were in the lowest place, the 49th level of impurity. Few were paragons of righteousness. The difference between those who were deemed and those who were left behind was their belief in their own value, in their own potential for exalted levels of holiness. It was lacking their own faith. The Russia denies the possibility of godliness within him. He believes in God, in Moshe, and in other Jews. He believes others can be great, but he can't see himself as part of that community. That's why he can't be redeemed. But we must know that Hashem loves us, wants us. He has room for us. And the only thing preventing us from embracing him is our own lack of belief in ourselves. So that's the first idea about we have to have belief in ourselves. Tzadik talks about this a lot of times. Emunah means not only believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also believing in your own abilities, your own strengths to accomplish great things. So that's the first idea. Turn to the next page. On the second page, another English one. So this is a two first in history of the Haggadah this year. But I figured I'd share something from Rav Chaim. The only Haggadah I had from Rav Chaim was in English. So we'll read through this piece as well. And the other ones are going to be in Hebrew. So Rav Chaim writes, so it's written by Rav Chaim, the following idea. You know, the famous famous Seder that took place in Bnei Brak and all the great tzaddikim, the Tanaim. So he points out something very interesting. The disciple explained, as the Agada proceeds to say the mitzvah of discussing the Exodus implies only at the Seder, at the time when matzah mara lie before you, right? When it's in front of you, that's when there's a mitzvah. So Rabbi Elazar Mezari, who was at that very Seder in Bnei Brak, holds that one must eat the Karban Pesach and conclude the Seder by Chatzos. That's the pshat. That's the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So why then was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah among a group that discussed the Exodus, the whole Sipur Mitzvah for time, the entire night? The Haggadah tells us they went all night until the morning. Oh, it's time for Kriyat Shema. So shouldn't Rabbi Elazar have left already? He should have left by Chatzos. Chatzos, it was already done for him. His sheet was Chatzos, the night is over. So let him go to sleep and nap. Why is he staying there for the next several hours until the morning? So this may be why the Gada informs us that the story took place in Bnei Brak. Who cares where it took place? It could have been Yerushalayim. Why are we told where it took place? So Rav Chaim says the reason why it was in Bnei Brak, and in particular in the house of Rabbi Akiva, was for the following reason. Rabbi Akiva was the rabbi of Bnei Brak, and he maintains that a person may eat the Karban Pesach and thus continues his Seder until morning. So Rabbi Kiva's shita was, you go the entire night to eat the Karban Pesach, you go the entire night to eat the matzah, you go the entire night to talk about Mitzrayim. Rabbi Elazar Haro holds otherwise, but since he was in the house, the hometown of Rabbi Kiva, where he was the rabbi, so since these rabbis were in Bnei Brak, they all followed the ruling of the Morad Asher, the local rabbi, Rabbi Kiva, and discussed the whole exodus until the morning, because we have to follow the Minhag HaMakom. The Minhag HaMakom of Bnei Brak was according to Rabbi Akiva, the Rebbe, the Rav, the Morad Asra, and he held the entire night. And so for that reason, even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, although personally he felt that the time was till Chatzos, he had to stay the whole night because it's Rabbi Akiva's house. Moreover, this is why the Haggadah mentions Rabbi Akiva before Rabbi Tarfon. Even though Rabbi Tarfon was Rabbi Akiva's teacher, Rabbi Akiva learned from Rabbi Tarfon. So shouldn't it mention Rabbi Tarfon first and then Rabbi Akiva second, and would usually be mentioned before a student? But since Rabbi Akiva was the rabbi, the Morad Asra, he was mentioned first to underscore that this is Rabbi Akiva's house, his home, his city. He was Morad Asra, and that's why they had to do it all night against the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azar. Fine. The third, let me just go through the whole, we'll afterward discuss a question. Now, the third idea is from the Eish Kodesh. The Eish Kodesh is a new Haggadah that came out, which is a leakut from different ideas from the Eish Kodesh in different writings. So this piece, the left column, is a little bit harder to read, but we'll get through it. It says in the Haggadah, Ani v'lo malach, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, he himself was the one that redeemed Am Yisrael from Mitzrayim. It wasn't a malach, it wasn't a middleman, it wasn't an angel of any sort. V'efshir, this is in the Eish Kodesh in Parshat Kisisa. V'efshir, he writes, Ki Isa, we have, B'sifrei Kavod Kedushas Adoni Avi Amori Zatzal, Rabbi Olamach Shapiro, he taught the following. She'hamus ha'moser nafshu ba'ad Yisrael, a person who gives himself over to protect Am Yisrael, Gadol hu min ha'moser nafshu ba'ad Hashem levad. Greater is the one who's moser nefesh to protect the people than one who's moser nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake. Why is that? It's like a person who's willing to save the prince. The king is much happier when he's willing to save his own family than he himself. He loves his children sometimes more than himself. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to save Am Yisrael more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that showed a lot. Sheroim, the king sees, Shekol kach gedula ahavaso lemelech. How much does a person love a king? How much does he love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shalom bilvad shebishvilo moser nafshu. Not only is the person willing to protect the king, elagam bishul beno moser nafshu. He's even willing to protect the children of the king, the prince. So ef shalom or bezer, we could say the following. Shekeshira Moshe Rabbeinu sheYisrael tzrichin kol kach rachmim. That when Moshe Rabbeinu realized after the Cheda Egel, this is Parshat Kisisa, where the Cheda Egel is discussed, that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Am Yisrael required so much rachmim, limchol lahem gam al chet gadol kazeh. They required so much rachmim in order to be forgiven for this terrible avera of the Cheda Egel. Ore bekirbo, Moshe Rabbeinu was inspired within himself, kol kach avas Yisrael, so much love for Am Yisrael, ad sheyimser nafshu ba'adam, so much so that he was willing to give up his own life to save Am Yisrael, to save the people, the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo ba'ad tzadikim bavad. He wasn't only willing to save tzadikim, Moshe Rabbeinu. Rak gam ba'ad achotim, chet gadol kazeh. Even those who did terrible averas, he was also willing to give up his life. Hakol, why? Mipnei shem banav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because simply they were the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to give up his life. Why? Because ayidei ahavasu ha'gedula la'Hashem. Because Moshe loved Hashem so much, b'kol kach, he was willing to be mesiras nefesh ora ava kokach rabba meshem liyisrael. And that's why he was willing to give up his life. And how do we see he was willing to give up his life? Because it says, the last line of this paragraph, im ayin, if you don't save them, machenian besifrcha, erase me. Erase me from the Sefer Torah. So we see he was willing to give up his life. What does this have to do with ani v'lo mach? What's the connection to me and not an angel? So it's a little bit tricky in this left side here, but I'll say this outside. The idea is that he goes through, if you read this on your own, if you'd like, that somehow the malachim have the right to forgive and not to forgive. That's a bit of a tricky topic. And the pasuk says that the malachim refused to be mochel Am Yisrael. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm taking upon myself the avera of Cheda Egel on myself. They did it, I'm taking it as if I did it. And that means you're not willing to forgive me either. Away with you guys, we don't need the malachim. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to give up himself, we're not going to pay attention to you, I'm going to grant them mechila. So somehow Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm stepping in the way here. Malachim, get out of the way. I'm taking the avera on my shoulders because I love Am Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu loves Am Yisrael, and they're going to be forgiven. It's ani v'lo malachim. That's why he connects it to this particular idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in to save us, and we don't need malachim because they're not willing to save us sometimes. Go to the next page now, number four. This is from Rav Avram Short. It's a short piece, but I think it's a very powerful piece. On the very top, number four, Lekach Valibo, Rav Short writes in the Agada. We know, of course, it's a practice brought down, at least by the Ramah. I don't know if the Shulchan Aruch brings this down, but I imagine Sfardim opened the house, the door by Eliyahu, right? I assume it's a practice in every home. We open up the door to greet Eliyahu Navi. It was actually a Maisa that with Rav Chaim, that the children would ask, when they opened up the door, they'd ask the Rebbe in Batsheva Knievsky, so what does Eliyahu Navi look like? So she would see him. So she explained that he had a long white beard. They turned to Rav Chaim and says, no, what does he look like? And he just smiled, he wouldn't answer. So the Mestama he saw also. We're not Zohar to see, but Eliyahu Navi is somehow at every door when we open up the door. So what is the idea of Psichas Adelas? Rav Short says a very nice idea. Yesh Lefarish, Apimasha Amru Chazal, the Medrash tells us, that Komasha Kadosh Baruch Hu goes al Yisrael who mekayim etchila. Anything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does first, that he decrees upon Am Yisrael, he himself fulfills. What means that every mitzvah that we do, Hashem first did. So for example, Hashem wears tefillin. He told us to wear tefillin, he wears tefillin. Hashem tells us to daven, the Gemara says he davened as well. So umizeh, sheminag Yisrael leftoach adelas b'lo Pesach. What's the idea of opening up the door? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfill the mitzvah of opening up the door? And what's the message behind that? So he writes, on the wrong we see, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Paseach Adlasos Vashe'arim L'chol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu, on this night of Seder, opens up doors, opens up gates to every single Jew. V'chol Echad Yachol L'Hagia L'Madregos G'Vos B'Leil Pesach. A person can reach heights he was never able to reach in the past. U'Likanes B'Sharim Derech Dilug Shlobad Darga. Drago. What that mean is that a person could jump levels. What did Moshe, what did Kadosh Baruch Hu do the night of Makas Bacharos? He jumped over houses. He poseach from one house to the next house. He leaped. He was doling. So to our opening up the door, that new doors, new opportunities present themselves to us, Leil Seder, that we could jump levels that we couldn't jump on any other night of the year. Just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu jumped over houses, Makas Bacharos, we could jump over, we could leap over Madrigos we couldn't otherwise reach. And that's the idea of opening up doors, new opportunities exist somehow on Leil Pesach. That sort of sure explains. This next piece, number five, is from the Babacher Rebbe. I just saw this Haggadah. I think it's new. It just came out. And he says a very, very, very sharp idea. It says number five. It's in this page here. So it says, Vayered Mitzrayma al pi ha-dibur. The Haggadah talks about the different psukim. It analyzes the psukim and it brings sources to support each idea of the pasuk. But this particular pasuk, it doesn't bring a source. Every other pasuk says Vayered Mitzrayma. It should have said Shenemar, but it doesn't say Shenemar. It says al pi ha-dibur. Ones al pi ha-dibur. So it asks the Babacher Rebbe. L'chorat mu ha-davar. It's very strange. Shekol b'chol ha-drashos, all the other drashos, maybe b'al Haggadah, that the Haggadah brings, Raya, me'apsukim lochiyach ha-drashos. They bring a pasuk to prove the point. K'mo shekosev ha-yagar sham, melamit shlo yorod el-alogur, they went to live, shenemar, and it brings a pasuk. However, this particular drasha, v'yeyred mitzrayma, b'nogei l'drasha v'yeyred mitzrayma, onus ha-pi ha-dibur, that we went down to Mitzrayim against our will, based on a dibur, Hashem said, go down, eino me'evi shem raya. It doesn't say Shenemar. Why is there no pasuk proving the point that Kadosh Baruch Hu made us go down to Mitzrayim? Where's the Shenemar? So he asks further. When you try to look deeper into this idea, the whole idea of sent into exile and the redemption, the whole thing's very odd. How can we understand Galus? Galus doesn't make any sense. Listen to why not. Hare b'nei Yisrael, we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukshurim imo tamid. We're always connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. And the parentheses will read as well. Ube'emes. Hakesher ben Yisrael lemakom. The connection that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just like a father to a child. He od yoser mibanim le'avim. It's much a greater connection than a father is to a child. Sharei ben va'av. Afsha ben nimshach me'av. Even though the son comes from the father. Harei ben nasi le'metzias nifredes mimenu. The child is a different entity, a different human being, a different creature than the father. Aval neshamos Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and our neshamos, hein tamid miyuchados im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're always connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're one. V'davar echad im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im kena, that's the case. Kashir b'nei Yisrael b'galus, when we went down to Mitzrayim, hare gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there with us. He was there in galus with us. So what's the shayla? It says in the pasuk, "V'galu bavel shechina imahim." The shechina was there with us. Ulafida, here's the big question: if we went down to Mitzrayim, and so too did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kasha. How does it make sense? Shebnei Yisrael yachad makadosh baruch hu yeh begalus. How could Hashem be in galus? Ubefrat, in particular, galus is something that's hagbala, that's defined, that's finite. How could you stick a kadosh baruch hu in a finite space? A kadosh baruch hu is infinite. It goes on to explain that Mitzrayim means a meitzar. Meitzar is a border. Mitzrayim was a narrow place spiritually, physically. How could a kadosh baruch hu fit himself in there? It's like trying to put an elephant into a needle. He said it doesn't make sense. That's the rest of the paragraph here. So go down to the bottom right half where it says about Teretz. The Teretz is as follows. HaTeretz HaYachid HaKach SheKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Yachal. Kadosh Baruch Hu could do everything in its capacity. Ulefanav Ein Shem Hagbalos V'Shem Kushos. There's no questions. There's no borders. There's no limitations. Bertsono Yetzes HaGalos. He could willingly create Galos. V'Chriach Es Atmo. And he could somehow force himself into that Galos. Into this small space, he could force himself. Even though we don't understand how that word makes sense, how something infinite like a Kadosh Baruch Hu could fit in something finite, but he doesn't. You can't explain it to me. And that's why he explains, you can't bring me a raya. You can't prove it. There's no way to prove it. It's something that doesn't make any sense to the seichel that Kadosh Baruch Hu could be something finite in some place that's finite. And that's what it means. Vizel shekosa bahagada vayerid mitzrayma onis al piyadibur. It was honest. It was against our will. We couldn't understand this. Masha Yaakov Yarad Legalis Mitzrayim. That which Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. Hareza Davar Pele. It's impossible to understand. Vitema Shein Lo Mokum B'Seichel. There's no place in the intellect that we can actually comprehend this. Ad Shebir HaYachid Lezeh. The singular explanation is it's honest al pi adibur. Honest means it's against our will. We can't understand it. There's no way to explain it. Shekach Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was his will. Ulegabi adibur Shilamala Ancient Magbals. Hashem said something, he creates whatever he wants, and therefore we can't explain it. Umishum zeh, for that reason, the next paragraph, lohehevi bal hagados, rayos hazeh, he doesn't bring any proofs. There's no shenemar. You can't bring a proof. It's something that we can't comprehend. Ki inin zeh, shim lo al pi adibur, ein kamakum l'chol inin hagalos. We can't understand this. It must be based on this idea of onus al pi adibur. In the last paragraph, he writes, now, that being the case, it's a very important chizuk here. When we find ourselves in the depth of galus, in a personal galus, when we're very far from Yiddishkeit or whatever our struggles are, doubled and doubled upon doubled, compounded galus. Al yapil adam b'yesh, a person should never fall into the place of giving up hope. Chas v'shalom, v'yachshav, and to think shelo yitachin latzeis megalus legula. How would I leave exile to come to gula? It doesn't make any sense. I'm in such a deep choshech. Kevin Shemitzada Emes Nishamas Yisrael Einam Shaychas Klal Ol HaGalas. Klal Yisrael doesn't make sense. We don't belong in Galus. There's no place for us in Galus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist in Galus. That itself doesn't make any sense. And just like the Galus doesn't make any sense, that means the Gula doesn't make any sense either. So even though you and I can't figure out how to get out of this place, we don't have to figure it out. It doesn't make any sense. We're in Galus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which doesn't make sense, and we'll get into Gula, which doesn't make sense either. Rak mitzad ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something, that's what's going to get us out of Gullus. Harei, we're skipping the brackets here. Harei, hahefech hateva nimtzam b'Gullus. We are against nature to be in Gullus. V'teikav miyad k'shiagia morid ha'gula. We reach the redemption. Neitim ishibir l'gula me'afila la'ora. And therefore, we should never feel like we're stuck in anything, even though it doesn't make any sense, because there's always a way out, because Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu go l'mala me'ateva. Okay, bottom left here, number six here. I always try to bring a piece to understand Hallel a bit better. A little taich in the Psukim in Hallel, a short piece here. It's from a Haggadah on a Likud of an Adapt a Kolel Haggadah. It's a fat Haggadah I picked up one time. Adapt a Kolel, that was the name of it. It's a different Rosh Kolel from different places throughout the countries. This was Rav Moshe Shmuel Leitner. I forget which Kolel he was Rosh Kolel over, but he had a very nice short piece here. We say in Hallel, Lo Hamesim Yahaluka V'lo Karyar De Duma. Though the dead can't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we say, V'anachnu nevarech ka me'ata v'ad olam ha'aluka. And we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever. So it's Tzarechin. Mitzad echad, from one perspective, Omrim, we say, Shelo ha'meisim ha'aluka. It's Hashem. When a person's dead, he can no longer praise Hashem. He's dead. However, midach gisa, from the other perspective, the Pasuk says, Shanachnu nevarech es Hashem me'ata v'ad olam, until forever. So that is forever, ad olam, even after a person dies. How could we praise Hashem eternally if the Pasuk says, Lo Mesim Yahaluka, once we're dead, we can't praise Hashem anymore? So he answers a very nice idea. Yesh lomar, apia gemara Sanhedrin daf tadi aleph, shekola omer shira b'olam hazer, zocha v'omer l'ol mahaba. He, who is zocha to praise Hashem in this world, will also be zocha to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the next world, even after Misa. Imkein, anu yucholom l'shabech l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu eternally, me'ad me'at tov'yat olam. Im anu maschilim b'olam hazer l'shavcha, if we praise Hashem in this world, when we're in olam hazer, then we'll be zocha to v'nachtim v'rachya me'at tov'yat olam haluka. Mash'enkein ha'mezim, those who died, im heim lo amru shira b'olam hazer, if they were not zocha to praise, to sing to Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, then gam b'yom haba lo yicholim la'amro. So when the pasuk says lo amesim, that means those who, if you will, acted dead in this world by not praising Hashem, they'll forever not praise Hashem. But you and I, who have the zechus to say halal, to sing halal, especially the Leil Seder, it's a big Indian of halal, will be mitzvah Hashem bizocha, even in olam haba, to sing the praise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, number seven now. Here's first the chasam sofer. A very sharp idea for Chasam Sofer. And the pasuk, we say, Vayar Yisrael Yad Agdola, Vayaminu Ba'Hashem. And Klal Yisrael saw the great hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they believed in Hashem. What's the connection between these two pieces of seeing the Yad Agdola and the Emunah? So he brings very nice. Moran Chasam Sofer Zatzal, Amar, Shiadu, it's known, Shanitzel B'Zuchus Achem, a person who's saved by someone else's Zuchus. We'll see an example in just a second. Eino roi liros b'mapelos harishom. He's not allowed to, or she's not allowed to see the downfall of the rishom. So the classic example is Lot. Lot shenitzal b'zuchus Avram. Why was Lot saved? It wasn't his own merit. It's because of Avram, his uncle. Nitzdavet shelo l'habit l'acharav. So Lot was said, it wasn't your zuchus that you were saved. Since it wasn't your zuchus, you cannot watch the destruction of Sodom v'Amor. Don't turn around. And we know what happened to Esh's Lot. U'mora hafla, the Chasam Sofer had two Rebbeim, one was the Hafla, Perish Bazeh, that's what it means in the Pasuk, Hashem li bo'ozri, Hashem saved me, and bezuchusi, my zuchus, therefore, lachin ani ere besonai, the Pasuk says, I can see my enemies. Only when it's your zuchus that you were saved, may you watch the destruction of your enemies. But if it wasn't your zuchus, you may not watch the destruction of the enemies. So says the Chasam Sofer, lefikach, therefore, Yisrael shehayu below zechuyis b'Mitzrayim. We had no merit in Mitzrayim. We were in the worst level. Below nitzlu ela b'zechus avosem. We were only redeemed because our zechus avos that we had, as it says, v'nitzak el Hashem lo keil v'seinu. We're davening because we're the children of Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov. And it says v'yiskor l'kim es briso. Hashem remembered us as Avram, as Yitzhak, v'es Yaakov. So nesu lates ish mi pesach beis ad boker. It's a big chiddush here. Why were we not allowed to leave Leil Pesach, the night of Makis Bechoros? We all thought, because we're in great danger. Makis Bechoros is taking place. We don't want to be killed. Chasam Sofer says, no, you know why? Because since we didn't have a zechus, we were saved in Makis Bechoros, not because our own zechus. Because the chazavos, we were not allowed to watch the Mitzrayim die. That's why we had to stay inside. He said, Oliros b'mapelos b'chorim. However, this is in contrast to when we left Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf. What zuchus did we have when we finally left Mitzrayim? We had the zuchus of Amuna. We walked into a desert that had no plants. We trusted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We had no food with us or nothing. And we had Amuna to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We jumped into the Yam because we trusted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because that zuchus of Amuna, Zachu v'ra'u b'mapeos ha-mitzrim. We were able to witness the downfall, the destruction, the killing of the Mitzrim because of the zechus that we actually earned. And that's what the taich of the pasuk is here. Zeh shenemar v'ayar yisrael sayada gedola asher asa Hashem b'mitzrayim. Why were we able to watch them die, Mitzrim get killed? Because b'zechus ma'zachu l'rosa, because the zechus v'yaminu ba'Hashem u'v'moshe avdo, the zechus that we had the moon in Hashem and Moshe Benu as his servant, that we're able to also see Vayar Yisrael Sayad HaGadol. And that's the connection between these two ideas of the Emuna and the Re'iyah. The next piece, number eight, is the Gra. The Gra, many ask this question, it could be others answer this way as well. We say in Dayenu, Ilu kervanu l'fnei arsinai v'lo nosin lanas haTorah Dayenu. How we got to the foot of the mountain and not received the Torah, that would have been enough. Now, it's a very strange thing. What's so good about being in Har Sinai? We just missed the Torah. The Torah is the essence. We would have been satisfied, Dayenu, have we got to Har Sinai and not received the Torah? How does that make sense? So Yadua HaSheila, everyone knows this question. Ma Dayenu, Shebahar Sinai, below Kabbalas HaTorah Alav. What is that we would have been happy with without the Torah? V'tirti, right, and there's a very nice story about the Gra. Shezachinu bo lamalas ha'achtas. We would have reached the level of achtas. Liosenu ki'ishachar b'levachar, like it says in the Rashi in the Pasuk, that we were one people, we were one heart. And that's enough. The achtas, reaching achtas, even though we didn't have the Torah, that would have been sufficient. U'kvar kasir rabbeinu, the Gra writes, Kasher Yisrael ba'achtas. When Am Yisrael has this strong level of achtas, as a shechina shor b'Yisrael, that allows the shechina to rest upon us. Besod v'hu be'echad, umi yishuvenu v'naf she'ivsa v'yas. Based on the pasuk in Iyova, that when we're ba'achtas, then the shechina is going to be shor alav. U'binyan zeh yisupar, there's a story about the Gra. I'll say this outside. The Gra was learning in a very intense way when he was very young. When he was 4 years old, he was learning very intensely. He knew Chumash and Tanakh by the age of four. A very scary thing. That was the Gra's mind. And his parents got very nervous. He spent so much time learning at the young age at four, when boys this age should be going out and playing. So they said, they convinced him, they forced him to go out and play with the kids. Go down the block, go play in the park. So he gets to the park, and he sees they're playing on a wood on top of a rock. It was up and down. In other words, a seesaw. He sees them playing a seesaw, and he didn't like that. So he goes back home a few moments later, and his mother says, I guess Eliyahu, whatever they called him, Eli, grew up. So I sent you out to play. What are you doing back home? So he said, I don't understand the game. Why would one kid be up and the other kid be down? How could you ever put another kid down? Doesn't make any sense. Where's the achdus? This guy goes up, this guy goes down, this guy goes down, this guy goes up. It's a silly game. It doesn't make sense. It's not in line with our shkafa. And therefore, he went back home and he didn't like it. That was the achdus, the sensitivity that the girl had at the young age of four. Either way, the dayenu that existed at Har Sinai, even without the Torah, was the concept of ki'ish echad b'lev echad. Okay, the next piece, number nine, we're in the same page here, is as follows. There's a Haggadah. There's a sefer called the Otos HaTorah. Otos HaTorah is a very wonderful sefer. It has a likud of a number of things in Haggadah. They have it on the five books of the Chumash. They have it on Yom Tovim. It's a nice set of Sfarim called Otos HaTorah. And he's explaining something of the Rosh Mahu Omer. Haggadah's Menachem Tzion, he quotes from this Haggadah, HaRosh HaShoel. The Rosh asks the following question. I saw people serve Hashem. I saw people serve Hashem in following the Torah. I saw people learn nicely. I saw people daven betfila. I saw betainios v'sifgufim. I saw people fast. Wonderful things. Beruchnius, they were so great. Achatem ochlim baser shamein lesova. But I see you guys eat incredible amounts of meat. Ushosim yayim meshubach dal kosas. You're busy drinking wine after wine, cup after cup. Leil seder. What is this? I get the tefila part. I get that connection. I get the davening, I get the learning, I get the fasting, but all this eating, all this drinking? This is how you serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu with all the meals and the soups and the fish and the meat and the kugel and the cakes. That's how you serve Hashem. Doesn't make any sense. Maha avodah zos. What is this avodah? What are you guys doing? I thought this is a religion of spirituality. Ruchnius. Hare lachem hi v'lola Kaddish Baruch Hu. Lachem, you're doing this for yourself. Lachem, for you. Not for Hashem. You call that religion? We tell us, knock out this guy's teeth. Russia doesn't get it. He's missing the boat. Kishine Risham Shibarta, break the teeth of the Rishayim. Kim lo yavin harasha, the Russia doesn't understand that you could serve Hashem even when you eat. Also in Gashmias. Ashagam be'achil v'shtia, yuchal avod Hashem. Even by eating and drinking, you could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imkain, if that's the case, achilas arak l'taiva l'malis bit no. I mean, the Russia obviously eats for his own taiva. So he says it must be that tzaddikim are also eating for the taiva. He doesn't understand how a person can eat outside the world of taiva. Man nachon, if it's appropriate, shelo yeh lo shanayim, he should not have teeth. But ma lecha, without what to eat. Ulepachos she'achilas hatiyah betzari, he should eat with the trouble. The beer, the goddess of this Israel, explains as follows. V'yafa tahakis shinav nakar's teeth. Yesh lahakshas, you can ask the question, ma kivnu bazeh, what was his intention? B'derech melitza. There's some Rishon who agree. They understand Yiddishkeit. They get the learning. They get the davening. That all makes sense in their world. They don't understand. They don't believe that one could connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world of Achila, the world of Shtia, the world of Kedoma, and the world of Gashmis. Zel, that's the question of the Rasha. Ma ha'avodah zos lachem. This is for your own personal benefit. L'chol tzarchein, to all your needs. Kmo b'seder ha'pesach, the dal kosos, the matzah, the it's leaning back, all that's for your own pleasure. And that's why you say, afata hake eshin, knock at his teeth, klomar, kevin she'ein chamamin, since you don't believe that the achila and shtiyah is also to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't deserve properly. But for you and I, who are not in the category of Risham, we must believe that eating and drinking also, somehow, in a deep way, is a way of connecting to their Ribono Shel Olam. And Purim certainly was a great example of that. Purim Pesach are two great examples of how eating and drinking can connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's do one last piece here. Number 10. And this is from Be'er Chaim Biederman. It's a longer piece. I'm not going to do the whole thing. I'll say outside most of it. He speaks about other places in the Haggadah, this concept in his parish in the Haggadah, the concept of Maschil B'gnus U'Mesayim B'Shvach, that we start off B'gnus and we conclude with the praise, with greatness. And he says, even though our predicament in Mitzrayim was in G'nus, we were in a bad place, but by the end, by the time we finish off, we're free. We're free people. And every Jew goes through these conditions of struggles in Ruchnis and Gashmis, but through the Tzipor Yitz Mitzrayim, you're able to come to Arezim Meshubach. We could get to a place of greatness. And so he tells us the following. He asks the question. We did this a few years ago. I don't know if anyone remembers what we did a few years ago. But he asks the famous question that everybody asks. Why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Tzipor Yitz Mitzrayim? And one of the answers that are given is that we say the bracha afterwards, the bracha of Asher Ga'alnu, at the end of the Haggadah. So the obvious question is, well, every bracha before the mitzvah is over Las Yasan, is before the mitzvah, not after the mitzvah. So how is one zocha, how is a person in a yotz to the mitzvah of the bracha of mitzvah if it's after the mitzvah has already been done? So this is the chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. If you look at the top left paragraph of Miyashev HaChassam Sofer, it says, Chayv Adam Liros et Atzmo Kilu Hu Atzmo Yatz Mitzrayim. A person must envision himself as if he is walking out of Mitzrayim each Leil Seder. U'mechadesh t'kmo kein binyanei ruchnis tzarech Adam, in the world of spirituality, a person must see himself, Liros et Atzmo, Kilu Adat, up until now, Haya Oved Avodah Zara. Until this point, a person was in the world of Avodah Zara. Here is Zara. He was doing the wrong stuff. Rak Achsha, right now, only now, Hiskari V'nichnas B'Shaya Kedusha. Now, he entered into that world of Kedusha. Now, go to the bottom right now. Beger Tova, the din. By a ger, when he goes to the mikvah, he says the bracha after he goes to the mikvah, because he can't say the bracha before he goes to the mikvah. He's not yet a Jew. He can't say the words of Tzivanu. So he says it afterwards. So says the Chassam Sofer, every Leil Seder, every Leil Pesach, we go through a new gerus process. We come in as a maschil, we begin begunus, as if we're over the Avodah Zarah, we're not Jewish, and the process is to go through a tevila, a gerus of some sort, and just like a ger says a bracha after the tevila, so do we say a bracha after this gerus kiveyach, if you will, after it's all done. And that's the idea. Each Leil Seder, we're going through the process of gerus. Now, with this idea, explains further. So why is a unique din? Nowhere else do we have an iser of mashu. Every other iser we have in the Torah, there's a shir, a kezayis, a kebetz, a something. Why is there an iser mashu? Even a speck of chametz will render whatever you're eating chametz. It ruins the whole thing. Why is that? So this is the chiddush he writes. There's a concept that b'nei Noach have no shirum. Jews have shirum. By ben Noach, there's no shirum. If a ben Noach steals a lesson shapruta, he's chayiv. A wee lesson of shapruta, they're mochel. There's no shir when it comes to a goy. So too, since the beginning of Leil Seder, we're goyim kivyachol, we're over the Avodah Zarah, so shiurim don't apply to us. We're not subject to shiurim. That's the only shiurim only for Jews. We're not Jewish yet. B'nei Noach have no shiurim. And therefore, just like a mashu would be usher to Ben Noach, whatever is usher to them, so to a mashu is usher to us, at least that first part, that continues, of course, throughout all Pesach, but that's at least an idea how we can explain why mashu is something unique here. Secondly, he explains every other yontif. When do we break the matzah, break the chal before the bracha? We always say bracha, and then we break bread. Why suddenly this night, first yachatz, and then make the bracha afterwards? So he says, because B'nai Noach, non-Jews, don't make brachas. They just eat. So we make a bracha as if we want to eat the bread, like we're a Ben Noach, that we don't actually eat the bread, but we're somehow showing, we're displaying that we're B'nai Noach, that they would eat without the bracha, and that's the concept, he says, of this night. Okay. So we'll stop here. Hopefully that's some things you could share at your Seder. Shukar for coming. Everyone have a chag kasher v'sameach.